Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh, I think you can do better than that. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
That's better. It's delightful to be back here again, and it's such a long time. So it's wonderful to see familiar faces and also new faces. So in case you don't know who I am, my name's Reverend Cora Yarian. I used to be a member of this church for many years. You sent me overseas to work as a missionary in Mozambique and other places. And I worked here as a pastoral care and community worker for about 5.5 years before I continued on in my travels, went to Nottinghamshire and then ordination training and then plenty of other places besides. So it's a privilege to be able to come here and to preach on a rather special day, I have to say. I wasn't anticipating that I'd get to see Ian, so I'm delighted to be here on Ian and also Mike's final Sunday. But it's lovely also to be here on the blessing or thanksgiving for Emily. So thank you for the privilege of being able to speak at this special occasion. But I do have something to share with you, Ian. In the Church of England, you get to have Easter all the way to June. So, you know, not that it's at top trumps, but our sermon today is about the resurrection. So I'm going to begin by reading from John chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your nets on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not that far from shore, only about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Here ends our Bible reading. Some of my favourite smells are baking bread, that green summery smell of cut grass, the piney scent of the Christmas tree, and the smell of roast chicken sizzling in the oven. I wonder what your favourite scents are. Most people have that smell that when they smell it, it brings memories flooding back to their mind. Maybe of Christmases gone by, or maybe a wedding day. Our sense of smell closely relates to how we experience life and also process memories. I've read that smell, or olfaction, emotion and memory share closely networked space in our brain's systems. So with our sense of smell firmly engaged, with all of our senses engaged too, I want us to step into our Bible passage. I want you to draw to mind the delicious aroma of a barbecue, particularly that smell of charcoal smoke, and hear the sizzling of the food on the grill and that irresistible smell of lunch cooking. I didn't know whether there would be a waft in from the church lunch at that point, but not quite yet. So bring to mind the waft of a charcoal fire, of bread warming and fish grilling for breakfast. Maybe hear the ripple of the waves from the Sea of Galilee, the smell of the lake on the breeze. So as we step into our Bible reading today and gaze out on the Sea of Galilee, we see Jesus' disciples hard at work, fishing in the darkness before dawn. Peter and six other disciples had fished through the darkness of the night, but their nets were still empty. I wonder if that emptiness reflects the state of their hearts. Confused despite the experiences of meeting the resurrected Jesus, returning to that familiar action of fishing in the face of the horror of the cross and the flickering hope of the empty tomb. Yet that familiar action of fishing does not bring comfort or success, just empty nets. I wonder if the failure of that night's catch chimes for Peter with the failure that he no doubt felt as a disciple. Now, as I was preparing my sermon today, thinking of fishermen, I couldn't help thinking of Mr. Store. From my time here, he would often talk of his fishing endeavours. So give me a wave, Ron. Where are you? Oh, okay. I was going to ask him whether he ever had those times where he never caught anything in his fishing endeavours. What do you reckon? Okay, very occasionally. Let's see, a very good fisherman. So, with that in mind, we are turning back to our reading and focusing in on these failed fishermen with an empty net. In that fruitless night of fishing, there comes a cry from the beach. "Friends, haven't you got any fish?" "No," is the curt and maybe slightly sullen or angry response to the inquiry from the beach. To this, the bystander, as yet unnamed on the beach, offers advice and direction. "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat and you will find some." I don't know about you, but I don't love unsolicited advice. It's not my favourite, let's just say. And I can't believe that the disciples enjoyed receiving advice about fishing from a bystander after a fruitless night of effort. They're experienced fishermen, and so I have no doubt that they fished on both sides of the boats during their night of fishing. So when someone calls with sage counsel to throw their net on the right side of the boat, I wonder how they felt or what they thought. I'm wondering if it was like Ian, full of love and care and support, or maybe there was a little bit of anger and criticism maybe a little bit of resentfulness at this unsolicited advice. Whatever their reaction internally, they did, in fact, throw their nets out on the right side of the boat and immediately bring in a haul so full that their nets were overflowing and yet did not break. I wonder if this sets up a resonance for you with other Bible passages. I wonder whether you're thinking about Luke chapter 5, where Jesus first calls his disciples, calling them away from a miraculous catch of fish and telling them, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." Connecting this miraculous fish, this miraculous catch with our first miraculous catch seems to be connecting them to their first calling and this restoration of calling that we see in this resurrection encounter. I think the miraculous catch of fish reminds us of Jesus's sovereignty. Reminds the disciples of their need to depend on him like the vine and the branches that he'd taught them about. Maybe it brings to mind like that familiar scent of baking bread or of Christmases gone by, that original call from Jesus. They were doing exactly the same thing. They'd had that fruitless night of fishing. Jesus had told them where to fish. And lo and behold, a miraculous catch was caught. It was just the same, and yet was it? I wonder, as we reflect on this passage from John, I wonder if you're thinking, how does this apply to me here in Saltersford, in Warwick today? How might it apply to my life? How might it apply to my calling from God? Maybe for some, we need to be re-reminded of a call that we received a long time ago. Maybe we need to be called again or recommissioned for a new task. Maybe Jesus is calling you for the first time to step into a new relationship with him. It's wonderful to hear of Ian saying that he is looking to hear a new call from God as to what the next stage of his ministry will be like. And I want to encourage each one of you, if we only listen, if we only ask, Jesus is willing to speak. He's willing to call us. Each one of you is precious and dearly loved. Each one of you has a task that God is calling you to. It might not be fishing. It might not be serving like Ian has. But each of you has a role to play within God's church and gifts and skills that he has provided for you to be used to build up the church. So as we turn back to our reading, one of the points that I want to pull out from this abundant catch is just how many fish were received. There's been a lot of ink put in by commentators about the 153 fish that were caught, and large fish at that. But I don't want us to focus on that lively debate by scholars. I want us to focus on the fact of the abundance of the catch. Just like the wedding at Cana, just like the feeding of the 5,000, the abundance of this catch reminds us of the abundance of God's love. Here is poverty transformed to abundance, despair moved to hope. Abandonment is replaced with the restoration of relationship as we think about this abundant catch. So maybe as we think about the joys of Easter and the resurrection, maybe this is the resurrection story that you need to grasp hold of today, this week, or maybe in the months to come. Maybe when you are feeling impoverished, maybe you're feeling like your well has dried up. maybe when you question God's grace for you. If you think about this reading, may you be encouraged about the truth of the resurrection, that there is an empty tomb revealing to us God's love for each one of us, a love that isn't just a tiny drop, but it is overflowing. It's not a catch of one or two fish, it's an overflowing catch, which reminds us of the overflowing nature of God's love. God really does love you. He really does love the world. We've seen it on the cross. We've seen it in the empty tomb and in Jesus' resurrection. That is love. Love beyond anything we could imagine. In fact, it's grace, grace upon grace, revealed in a simple catch, in broken bread, fish shared, in wine at a wedding, in an empty tomb. We are reminded of God's love and God's grace for each one of us. So as we turn on to our next section of our reading, we have breakfast on the beach with Jesus. I wonder whether you can bring to mind those times in your life when you've had a special meal. Might be a wedding breakfast, a special birthday with a zero in, or whether it's another time celebrating the arrival of a new baby. There are plenty of meals that are transformatory, that change our lives as we meet with friends and family, as we meet with God. This breakfast on the beach with Jesus was one of those meals for Peter. There was that smell of the charcoal fire in the background. It was that smell in their nostrils that might have reminded Peter of another charcoal fire. Wonder if he gazed into those flames and was reminded of the time that he warmed himself on a fire and also denied Jesus. It's next to that charcoal fire that Jesus, the bread of life, has prepared a place for Peter and also for us at the table. It's that Last Supper has become the first breakfast. The charcoal fire of denial has become a charcoal fire of welcome and invitation. There is already fish cooking and bread to eat. It's with hospitality and welcome that Jesus welcomes his confused, tired, and probably hungry disciples in to receive from him not just fish and bread, but love and care, restoration and hope. So let's turn to, in some ways, the crux of our passage, which is the restoration of Peter in our final section. In this final section, we almost see quite a repetitive interchange between Jesus and Peter. We see Jesus asking Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" And immediately Peter chimes up, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus replies, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answers, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus says, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you." And Jesus replies, "Feed my sheep." It's in that breakfast conversation that we see renewal, that we see restoration. Peter denied Jesus three times, and it's in this affirmation of his love for Jesus three times that he is restored, that he steps away from failure, from shame and loss, and steps into the freedom of a new calling, a new hope, to care for Jesus' church, to feed his sheep. With each question and answer, Jesus drew Peter from his past and freed him to become himself, to be more fully alive. And isn't that really what our gospel has been all about, particularly in this section? A gospel of restoration. A gospel of hope. I wonder whether there are people here today who need to hear that message of hope. Maybe there have been losses. Maybe there have been disappointments or failures in your life, and you need to hear that message of love, message of compassion, message of renewal, that God calls you. God has work for you to do. No matter what the past has brought, there is fresh hope in Jesus. After they have eaten, Jesus teaches Peter all that will come before him. The cost of loving him, the cost of serving him. And there is a focus on the sacrifice that will be required by Peter, as his death will not be pleasant. Some say that he died on a cross, upside down. So, as we think of how we might apply this verse, I have a picture for you. It's called Plentitude. It's a picture of Peter on the beach. I will share it with you. Apologies that it hasn't come on PowerPoint. It's a picture that provides such vivid colour, but the focus of it is that restoration at the fireside. There is Peter, arms open to receive Jesus. And that's my challenge. That's my encouragement for you today, is to be willing, to be open, to receive Jesus, to be willing to leave behind the past, to know forgiveness and restoration, to know fresh hope and renewal, the power of the resurrection. It is my hope that you will also be attentive to God's call on your life, just as we've been talking about Ian's call here today, and his hope and expectation that there will be another call. The same is true for you. May you take time today to reflect on what God has been saying to you in the past, what he's saying to you now, but also what he's calling you to even now. Let's spend a little moment in quiet reflection, and then I will lead you in prayer. So let us pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for this breakfast on the beach with your disciples. We thank you for the miraculous catch that was caught and cooked there. And we pray, Father, for each one of us, that we would be reminded of your abundant love for each one of us, that we would be able to be renewed and restored in that love. Help us to know forgiveness and hope because of your love. Help us to step away from the past which may be hindering us, and to step into restoration. May we hear your voice, your call on our lives as individuals, your call on our lives as a church. May we know you ministering to us even this day. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Thank you.